What and who? What have you here, and whom have you here, that you have hewn a sepulchre here, as he who used himself a sepulchre on high? Isaiah 22, verse 16. Behold, Shebnah, the parvenu. He seems to have been a stranger, a man from the outside, who had worked himself into the holy people and into the holy city of Jerusalem and made a name for himself. Did he not become the most important dignitary at the court of Hezekiah? Observe how busy he is. He takes care of his grave. Do not say anything bad about that now, for you do the same. Actually, no one is doing anything else than that one thing, taking care of his grave. For the grave is our last testimony. Where the tree falls, there it shall lie. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 3. The grave that is dug or hewn out for us secures our last conclusion for our epigones, who derive them from the visible things of our life concerning the visible revelation of what we were. The grave, that is our final wrestling match against the hard reality of the sober and reluctant words that not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commands. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18. Who is he that does not love his last wrestling match? Ah, we all do build our grave. We write its inscription, we determine the status it will receive. We more or less decide its decoration. We will determine its size. Indeed, we are establishing our grave. Every working day, every struggle of life, every effort to get ahead in life is motivated by the desire to leave an improved image and a final definite report that will be written in human terms and with human ink. No, do not speak any evil of Shebnah. He wanted to be buried among the nobility of Jerusalem. Would you not mind to be buried there either? And did Shebnah not work for that purpose? Was he not daily surrounded by them? He was the master of the house, Mr. Shebnah, at the court of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Do not speak evil of this man, and do not mock him as a parvenu, a little man who has become great, for certainly that is what he was. Is it actually even a derogatory name, a parvenu? Or is it an honorable title? At least he made progress in life. The man who has no father and possesses no inheritance, and who has come from abroad into a sanctified people and a holy city, I will say that such a man can show himself. He will have talents and determination, otherwise he would never have succeeded. I like parvenus. They do something, and they can do it. And here we see Shebnah hewing a grave for himself up on high. That means not just a common grave, where the common people are buried, but up on high, among the nobility, perhaps even among the kings. He had dwelt among courtiers in his lifetime. Why not also in his death? Isaiah, however, became Shebnah's great opponent. What do you have here? Do you have here any right of inheritance? No, you don't, for you are no descendant by birth of Abraham. Who do you have here? Can you name your pedigree? No, you can't, for you are a stranger. You cannot even name your father. And do you now want a grave up on high, you barbarian, you parvenu? Indeed, those prophets of God can be hard, but they are not too hard. Also not now. For it was a judgment to Shebnah that he was a barbarian and a parvenu at the same time. Shebnah had indeed made progress among the people of Judah and the children of David. He had cooperated with the people and with that generation of David, and went along with them. For this reason he was a parvenu, for he was a man of low descent. Now Isaiah did not oppose him because he was a parvenu, but because he was only half of one. His body indeed went along to David's house, but his soul stayed behind. He was still a barbarian. In his death, he wanted to be buried among the nobles of God's holy people, while in his life he had not penetrated to the core of that people. He was still a barbarian. He wanted to let his dust rest among the saints and mighty ones of God. Yet, his spirit had not learned to repeat after David, "I have said to Yahweh, Thou art my Lord. To me there is no good thing above thee. And as to the saints who are on the earth, I did say, There are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight." Psalm 16, verse 2-3. For Shebna did not see in the holiness of David's house its glory, but stopped at the external glory, and did not attain to holiness. He was still a barbarian in his inmost being. He took to himself the glory of David's house for his beautiful grave, which he had ordered to be built for himself, but remained blind to the holiness of David's house and people. Was he a parvenu? If only he had been, then Isaiah would have embraced him. But now he was only half of one. His body had penetrated into the mountain of Zion's temple, but his soul had not. His soul remained in the land of the barbarians. He had looked around and said, "Around Jerusalem there are mountains." Psalm 125, verse 2. But it had only been his flesh that said it. His soul stayed outside of it. Even the Jebusites could have said this. Only the inhabitants of Jerusalem, who in the name of the Lord have the song of Yahweh in their soul, did exceed the ancient heathens who had lived there before them. And these Jews climbed from the mountains onward to their God. For thus the Lord is around his people. Shebna, however, remained a heathen at heart, a stain to the house of David. He was a parvenu. The house of his fathers he did not know, but yet he was a barbarian. He did not acknowledge the house of his Lord, even though he daily abode in it. He was a stain to the house of his Lord. And now he was allowed to consider his place and station and was given the opportunity to come to his senses. What do you have here? Do you have any right to inheritance? No, you don't. And who do you have here? Do you have here a pedigree? No, you don't, for there is nothing here that belongs to you, nothing to which you can appeal for the beautiful construction of your grave. The only possession you could have is in the God of here. Indeed, of here, O Shebna. But you desired for yourself the place of this God, yet not the God of this place, and that is your condemnation. And now you, you grave builders, you who make money, you who eat bread, build, succeed, and eat. But remember that you are here, and that all of your being should be here, your body, but also your soul. For the location of your work is a Shebna location. You are in a position to leave the fruit of your labor in the temple of the God of David, and you can leave more to him than the dead dust of your body. And you have a Shebna task. You have talents like him. You may also be here, for God gave you enough opportunities. But as he gives you bread to eat, he also wants to hear from you the song of your soul. You may not be like Shebna, who broke the bread with the royal seed of David. While he left his heart among the heathens, he considered the rocks of Zion strong enough for his embalmed body, but did not make the God of Zion eternally into his rock. He indeed carried the keys of David's house, but shut up his soul to David's mighty son, the Messiah, and the messianic faith. Let us work hard now this year for our bread, for this time, and for our concerns about the grave, which we now already see ahead of us. But let us go with God. Let us be parvenus. Let us be busy to work ourselves higher up, just like Shebna. Yet, let us then also with the soul completely penetrate into the new situation. Then we will find God in this newly created situation. Let us eat the bread of the earth. Yet, do not only accept the bread from Isaiah's God, who was also Shebna's judge, and who gives you the opportunity to construct your own grave, but accept from him also the bread for the soul. And learn from Shebna that you may indeed securely pin yourself into the earth. Though he was actually pinned down too loose, for he tried to mount only his grave very securely, and even in that he failed. And for the rest he struck his pins much too loose. If his beautiful sepulchre had not held on to him, he may tomorrow have been able to celebrate a party in Egypt, and the day after that in Asher, if only he had been invited. No, no, do not fasten the pins too loose. Mount them so solid that you can serve all of God's counsel until the end. Yet let the hammer that strikes and the hand which controls the hammer be moved by God's eternity. For the offense of the Shebnas is not that they take care of time, but that they do not experience the harmony between time and eternity. And their error is not that they are builders of graves near the temple, but that they pasture their flesh far from the temple, and only want to have it buried there. For Zion was not built to decorate your passing on, but to harvest the fruit of your flowering. That temple mount, which was to become a shining asylum for the dead Shebna, wants to be the glory of the living ones. Live and eat, but consider that a God of here is not a God of the dead, but of the living. What do you have here? And who do you have here? Say it now. I have the Lord my God. Say it, or take better care of your life than of your grave, of your soul, and because of that, of your flesh.